Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So yes, 500 years since what we say the start of the Reformation. Hopefully, if you've been around throughout October, you've heard me say a little bit about that. So don't have a long time today to go into a lot of things. In short, what are we celebrating today? We're celebrating Jesus and the gospel. So as much as it was 500 years ago about that, it still is about Jesus. So if you hear nothing else from me today, it's about the gospel. It's about Jesus. And yes, sadly, in our history of the church, our church, Christianity, somehow that got obscured in a search for power and money and influence. The gospel got obscured. And so if you talk, I heard a Catholic musician publicly say in this month, called the Reformation a necessary renewal, and so to the whole church. And so we celebrate Jesus today. So the topic that we're going to talk about is gospel faithfulness. The picture you see is what marks 500 years ago the start. Martin Luther protested the sale of indulgences. You can look that up. We talked a few weeks ago about that. But all that means is you can't earn your way into God's kingdom. You can't buy your way into God's kingdom. But yet our heart keeps wanting to go back to doing that. God, either you owe me, or God, you're punishing me because I'm getting what I deserve. And God doesn't work that way. Jesus lived, died, and rose for you, and by faith, we receive it. And that's what changed Martin Luther's life, was reading the Word of God. Romans 1 says, "And the just or the righteous shall live by faith." By faith, you receive Jesus' perfect life lived for you. By faith, you receive the forgiveness he earned in his sacrificial death for you. And by faith, you receive the victorious power of his resurrection and power over death. And guess what? We need to hear that gospel every day because we forget it every day. So yes, we followed a bit of Luther's life throughout October. That's not to heap praise on any one person at all. It's to say thank you, God, for the people that have highlighted the gospel, especially when it was being obscured and needed to be. So part of his life we looked at was his dad wanting him to be a lawyer, him having that life-changing experience in a storm where he said, God, I'll serve you and become a monk, and yet his whole view of God affected how he lived. We talked about that 1 week. Your view of God affects how you live. If you view God as harsh and cold and uncaring, you'll live that way. If you believe that God is distant and doesn't care about your life, you'll live that way. And that's what happened to Luther until he read the Word and heard the gospel. That God loves you, forgives you, accepts you, makes you a new creation, not because of anything you did or could do, but you receive what Jesus has done by faith. And so he started, when he saw things going against that, he said, hey, let's have a conversation. And that's what you see there. You know, people make this out to be this big, giant stick it to the man. Nope, he wanted a conversation to say, what is the gospel, church? Let's talk about that. So you're going to see a clip here in a second, and it's from 1521, so we're marking 500 years from 1517. So the ball gets rolling of him saying, you know what, God's forgiveness isn't for sale. It's, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, let's go to the scriptures and get our final authority there. And then speaking out gets him into some trouble. And so he's basically put on trial at the Imperial Diet, the Imperial get-together to decide stuff, Imperial Congress, Diet of Worms. But when you read it, it looks like Diet of Worms. So very easy to misunderstand what's going on there. And he's on trial, and they say, zip it and live. Recant, take it back, you'll live. But he knew the gospel, and he knew he wouldn't budge on the gospel. And so that's what you're going to watch is him kind of pushed on it, and we'll kind of talk on the end. It's about 5 minutes, so a bit of a longer clip. But you hear him saying, I wish I could, but I found the truth of Jesus alone, and his famous line, here I stand. So that's what you get to see. Here, let me...
Good luck, Martin. Martin Luther, are you the author of these writings?
I am.
Do you recant what you have written here?
I cannot renounce all of my works because they are not all the same. First of those books in which I have described Christian faith and life so simply that even my opponents have admitted that these works are useful. To renounce these writings would be unthinkable, for that would be to renounce accepted Christian truths.
He is not here to make speeches, only to answer.
The second group of my work is directed against the foul doctrine and evil living of the popes, past and present.
No!
Yes! Yes!
Through the laws of the Pope and the doctrines of men, the consciences of the faithful have been miserably vexed and flayed.
If I recant these books, I will do nothing but add strength to tyranny and open not just the windows, but also the doors to this great ungodliness.
He has condemned himself.
In the third group, I have written against private persons and individuals who uphold Roman tyranny and have attacked my own efforts to encourage piety to Christ. I confess that I've written too harshly. I am but a man and I can err. Only let my errors be proven by Scripture. And I will revoke my work and throw my books into the fire.
You have not answered the question. You, Martin Luther, will not draw into doubt those things which the Catholic Church has judged already. Things that have passed into usage, rite, and observance. The faith that Christ, the most perfect lawgiver, ordained. The faith the martyrs strengthened with their blood. You wait in vain for a disputation over things that you are obligated to believe. Now give your answer. Yes or no?
Will you recant or will you not?
Since your majesty and your lordships desire a simple reply, I will answer. Unless I am convinced by scripture and by plain reason, and not by popes and councils who have so often contradicted themselves, my conscience is captive to the word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I cannot, and I will not, recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Yes! Yes!
So after that, he became a wanted man. Anybody could have killed him. Outlaw, had to go into hiding, and that's where he translated the New Testament into German. But let me be clear, this isn't about somebody wanting just to be a rebel. You know, earlier on, he says, I'm a loyal son of the church. I just want to people to know the gospel. This isn't about being anti-Catholic. Some people say Reformation is that. No, he never intended to split the church. He got kicked out. It's not about being anti-anything. It's not about sticking it to the man. It's what it is about is believing deep, deep down in your heart, gut, and soul that the best news out there is that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose for you, and all of God's grace and all of God's mercy and all of God's new life and eternal future are yours because of what Jesus has done for you. Free to you because it cost him everything. And that message is worth dying for. And in his time, Luther was willing to. But that message is so powerful that it's worth dying for. It's a message that's so powerful, it's worth being discriminated for. It's a message that's so powerful, it's worth being persecuted for. It's a message that's worth being paid less for. It's a message that's worth being mistreated for. If the gospel is true, it means that Jesus owns all of you. And it means that everything that your soul has actually truly wanted, you already have in Jesus. And not only do you already have it, Jesus continually gives you and gives you more. We don't need any more than the gospel, we need more of the gospel. The water that you are most thirsty for, Jesus tells you, you already have in Jesus. The food for which your soul craves most is already given to you. So my question then is, what would it look like for you to live that out today? What would that look like? To believe truly that Jesus has died and risen for you and that your whole worth and your whole identity is Jesus, then what do you have to lose in life? You've already gained the whole world. So how might that change your life? Imagine if you lived not worrying what people might think of you. Or imagine making decisions, not worrying if people will think you're weird. And if you believe in Jesus, frankly, you should be a little weird. But who cares? You have nothing to lose. So how can you be faithful to the gospel in your everyday life despite what it might cost you? And not just you individually, what about us as a church? What would it look like for us as Zion Lutheran Church here in Holland to live as though we had nothing to lose because the gospel of Jesus is true? What does gospel faithfulness look like for us? What would our future look like? What would it mean for us to be completely moved and compelled by the love of Jesus? And we didn't worry about what people might think of us because we have some strange beliefs or strange practices. What might it look like for us to be gospel-compelled people, a gospel-compelled church, gospel-compelled mothers and fathers and bosses and workers and neighbors and citizens? What would that look like for us to make every decision for our family's future, ourselves' future, our church's future, completely compelled by the gospel because we want other people to know the good news that you know? What would that look like? What would that look like then if not just us, but every church in Holland or every church around the world, no matter what their sign says, what part of Christianity they happen to be in, if they believe and teach the gospel, we are brethren, brothers and sisters. So what if every church believed and taught and confessed that Jesus alone is everything you need and we did everything possible to show that to other people? Can you imagine what might happen? You see, the gospel is true. And since it is true, it means I can't even begin to tell you this morning how much God loves you. And you and I deserve none of it, and you receive all of it because of Jesus. Amen.